very much for giving me the opportunity to say some words about the nomination committee process this year in the year 2010. If I look around, a lot of familiar faces are here who have served in the nomination committee in previous years, so I think there is no need to go into the details and to explain, you know, what the nomination committee is and how it works. So every year the nomination committee selects outstanding individuals as members of the ICANN Board of Directors, the GNSO and CNSO Council, and the At-Large Advisory Committee. By the way, the nomination committee sends more than the majority of the members of the board to the board. We select 8 directors from 15 voting members in the board. Soon there are 16 voting members, because At-Large Advisory Committee will send also a voting member to the board. But it means half of the board directors makes his or her way to the via the nomination committee. We select every year 3, and then another 3, and then 2. So it's a process staggered over the years. And this year we have the duty to select 3 directors for the board. The system works that candidates have to go to the NomCom website, and they will find a form which is called the SOI, a Statement of Interest. And so they have to fill in the form, and that's it, and if they are interested. The deadline for the submissions this year is the April the 2nd, and the selected candidates will take up their positions at the end of ICANN's annual meeting in December 2010. And as I said already, all the essential information can be found on the NomCom website. Next slide. So this year, as I said already, we have 3 members for the board of directors. They are selected for a 3-year time. We have 2 positions for the at-large advisory committee for a 2-year terms. But in the at-large advisory committee, we are linked to a geographical rule. So that means we have to select this year 1 candidate from Europe and 1 from the Northern American region, while last year we selected 3 candidates, 1 from Asia-Pacific, 1 from Latin America, and 1 from Africa. So next year it will be again in Asia-Pacific, Latin America, and Africa. So, however, I would encourage also at-large candidates from all over the world, because our rule is now that if you send an SOI, you will remain in the pool if you wish for at least 3 years. So that means if you are not selected in the year 2010, then you have another chance 2011 or 2012, if you wish. So that means if you want to step down because you are not satisfied with the procedure, then it's up to you. But we encourage candidates, although, you know, to make a first experiences how the process works. And there are good examples like Jean-Jacques Suprenat, who has applied for the position of a board director, was not selected in the first year, then reapplied because he was in the pool, and he was selected the other year. So that means if you are not selected in the first year, so that doesn't mean that you are not qualified for the job, because the NomCom had the difficult task to balance all kinds of different interests, geography, gender, specific skills, and all this. So this is similar also for the 2 members we have to select for the GNSO Council and the CNSO Council. Here's a difference: for the GNSO Council, the candidate is selected for 2 years, while for the CNSO, the candidate is selected for 3 years. And next slide, please. And we are looking for people who have all this. These are the wonderful people who, you know, are the best people in the world, have integrity, objectivity, intelligence, sound judgments, open mind, capacity for thoughtful group decision making. We sometimes call them, we have to have really the leaders of the internet community in the ICANN board. And my argument always is ICANN is as good as its leaders. So that means if you are unsatisfied with ICANN and you say, you know, you could do it better, then I think this is already the first step to send in an SOI. because then you are right qualified. That means I can need also more, let's say, critical capacity within its leading bodies. But it means I invite in particular also people who have an idea how ICANN could be improved, who are not satisfied with as ICANN is today, to write an SOI, because these are the right people we need for the future of ICANN, so that ICANN, you know, has always, you know, fresh ideas to improve itself. And in so far, you know, the main criteria is really to love the internet and to have an understanding of ICANN's mission and a commitment to ICANN's model of participative governance. And just, you know, being 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago in the Internet Governance Forum consultations in Geneva, you know, I realize again and again that ICANN is really pioneering this new model of multi-stakeholder governance. And in so far, you know, if you understand or if you are in favor of such a new model of how a global resource is managed, then I think ICANN is the place where you really can do this pioneering work, which will, in my opinion, affect other internet-related policy debates in the years ahead, and there will be much tougher internet-related debates in the years ahead, though the story is not over. And with the end of the GPA, I think in particular in the context of the United Nations, we will see a lot of new discussions. And then to have ICANN as a good model, as a working model, would be a very helpful argument. Insofar to strengthen ICANN is also doing some good work, you know, for bodies, for the outside world, which is not directly ICANN. Insofar, you know, I just encourage you to apply either yourself, but or you know, to communicate this to your constituencies, to your friends, when you think this could be a good candidate. So the problem, unfortunately, is this is voluntary work. So there is no compensation, neither for the director nor for the council members, other than the reimbursement of certain expenses. So that means you get your expenses repaid, but all the work you do is on behalf of the internet community, and then you will earn the thankfulness from the internet community for this. So I think for some people that's a problem. Insofar, we have to be transparent and open so that people understand this is not a job where you can make money, so that, but you can earn a lot as your recognition from the community, which is probably sometimes even more a higher value than just money. So how to proceed? It's rather simple. Again, you have to go to the NOMCOM page and to fill in the SOI. Then you have to send also two or three references so that people who know you support your application. And all this has to be done before April the 2nd. So it's still 4 weeks or 3.5 weeks to go. And we hope this will have a certain effect. And if you have any questions, so I'm here, and I can answer it directly. So I'm here the full week. There are also other NOMCOM members here, like Norbert Klein, Bill Manning, Hong Sui, and Trisha Twakes will come, who are members of the nomination committee. And Olaf Nordling from the ICANN staff is also here and can give all the answers if you need some answers. And we will have an ICANN NOMCOM booth in the on Monday morning in the exhibition space here of this conference hall. So that's it for the moment. Any questions?
Thanks very much, Wolfgang. I wanted to ask a question, but I see that Chuck has raised his hand. I'd like to give priority to the people not in the room because it's harder for them to participate. So, Chuck, please go ahead.
Thank you, Stefan. Appreciate that. Wolfgang, I want to thank you for, first of all, for the presentation, but even more importantly for all the work you do as chairing the NOMCOM this year, and for all of the NOMCOM members in their extensive time spent on this process. I do have one question for you. If I'm correct, all three of the director positions at the board level that the NOMCOM is going to fill are, I believe, from Europe. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But my question for you then, how does the NOMCOM deal with the geographic issues when selecting candidates? Obviously, there's going to be a big dent in representation from Europe if some of the candidates aren't chosen from Europe this year. How do you deal with that?
Thank you, Chuck. That's a very good question, and this is a challenge because we have three outgoing European directors. It's Alves Strand, it's Zubrenna, and it's Dennis Jennings. And I was in the nomination committee as a voting member when we selected the three, and we selected them because they brought specific skills to the board. Zubrenna as a diplomat for dealing with governments, Jennings as a business person, you know, able to manage a corporation, and Harald as a technical person. So that means while we'll have to look into geographical balance, we have to look also into skill balance. By the way, also into gender balance, all three have been men. So this will be a big challenge. And if you look into the composition of the board, at the moment, the Asia-Pacific region is underrepresented. So we have to look into a geographical balance. And as you know from the rules, there can be not more than a maximum of five directors from one region and voting members. And insofar, you know, we have to be very careful to keep this balance. I cannot say at this moment, you know, whether we will re-select three Europeans or two Europeans or just one European, though, because we have to look into the various dimensions of the balance. And as I said, the skill balance, the quality of the person sometimes is even more important than the geography. Otherwise, you know, we have to look into a geographical balance. And in particular, with regard to the Asia-Pacific region, I think at the moment this huge region is underrepresented in the ICANN board, but this is a personal opinion, and let's wait and see how this will work.
Thanks very much. I had a question from Avery, but I see, Chuck, you've raised your hand again. Did you want to follow up, or is it a different question?
Yeah, a real quick follow-up, and then I'll be done, Stefan. Thank you, and thank you for the response, Wolfgang. With regard to the maximum of five per region, does the CEO count as part of the five?
The answer is no. That's the reason why we can accept also a North American. This would not destroy the balance. If we Rod Beckström would be counted, then the North American basket would be full. But we checked it with the JJ, and the answer is very clear. Rod is not counted according to the bylaws.
Thank you very much. Thomas, did you have you wanted to clarify something?
Just a quick clarification.
Introduce yourself.
Sorry, Thomas Rössler. Quick clarification question. The directors whose terms expire at this point are all the Europeans on the board, correct?
Sorry?
I said the directors whose terms expire this year
are
all the Europeans on the board.
No, there are also Europeans in the board.
Who am I forgetting?
I think there are I think we have in the board voting and non-voting altogether now at the moment six. So, but John is Soininen and is not counted because he's a non-voting. So that means we could recall three Europeans. It's not a problem. So it's not overcrowded. I think we have now four voting Europeans in the board.
Okay, thanks. Is that okay, Thomas? Thank you. Can I get to Avery then, please?
Hi, Avery Doria, don't represent anybody. Not even myself. The question I have, and hopefully it wasn't covered, and if it was, please let me know. The NOMCOM appointments to the board and the AOC review team roles, What is the relationship with those? Is there any barrier between someone who is on a review team serving? How does it work? Thank you.
That's a good question. We discussed it already. And so it's a question also of timing. One thing is for sure, you cannot be at the same time a board director and a member of the review team. So this doesn't work. So I discussed it with Janice Karkling. They will have the names for the review team available, hopefully, at the end of this meeting here. So I think if somebody has applied both for the a board position and to become a member of the review team, I think for this year he would, if he is selected as a member of the review team, he would not be eligible for a position of the director. On the other hand, the understanding is, and this has to be cleared probably by the JJ again, it's expected that a report from the review team is available already in December. So that means then the review team work is over. So, and insofar, formally, probably then a member of the review team could be seated as a director in December. So, but for the moment, you know, if you ask me directly as a chairman, I would say it's better to have a certain distance between being a member of the review team and then apply for the job as a director. I personally think if you went through the review, probably you are well qualified to become a director, because then you look in particular in the weaknesses and the deficiencies of the board, then you know it better, you know what has to be done, and then you can do it yourself. So it means as a review member team, I would encourage you to apply in the 2011 round, but probably in 2010 it's too close.
Okay, thanks. I have Marilyn and then Norbert.
Thank you. Wolfgang, without asking you to disclose the firm, the actual discussions within the nominating committee, can you share with us the general sense that you're getting about barriers to broad recruitment of senior candidates, regardless of geographic location? And secondly, what's your sense of the fact that the board has not moved forward on approving payment for the chair or the board as a barrier to recruiting candidates?
Thank you, Marilyn. You know, I was the day before yesterday in Addis Ababa and had some meetings with the African Union Commission. And so because we are looking also for good candidates from Africa, and I think the direct question from the people there from the African Union was, okay, the fact that this job is not paid is a big barrier for an African person to apply for the board, because it consumes so much time, and you have to be, you know, a rich or retired person, and you have neither rich nor retired persons of this caliber in Africa. So that means this was a very clear answer from a high official from the African Union to say, okay, as long as this is not paid, we will have difficulties to get the right high-caliber candidates for the board from Africa. So we just have to take this as a fact. So it needs a bylaw change. It's up to the board and not to the nomination committee. Another barrier is certainly language. And it's, you know, this was a feedback from our board member, Professor Hong. She hosted a NOMCOM outreach event 3 days ago in Beijing, and there were 35 high-level members from the Chinese community there, and, you know, expressing their interest. And, you know, the fluent knowledge of English was seen as another barrier for some Chinese people who are doing, you know, an important work in the community in China, but there is a language barrier. So I think these are two barriers, you know, which has to be taken into consideration. And but it goes beyond the mandate of the nomination committee. We have just to follow our instructions in the bylaws under which we operate.
Yeah, I think it's speaking as a European that has a day job,
I think it's a challenge for more than Africans or Chinese people. I think it's a challenge for everybody, and it's a community problem. It's, as you say, it's not a non-com prerogative to solve that, but I think it is something that the community needs to look at. And when you talk to certain board members, you'll find out that they don't want to be paid. So there's an interesting dilemma there between some people saying, you know, we can't commit the time if we're not paid. We can't. This is too involving, and I can vouch for the fact that it does take up a lot of your time, even when you're not on the board. And you know, balancing that and the fact that some people don't think that volunteers should be paid. So it's a difficult situation, but I think it's something that definitely needs to be looked at, because on the GNSO Council level, the amount of work that we're finding we have to deal with now is just so colossal that I think people are finding it difficult to just stay involved. Norbert, you had a question, and then perhaps we can let Wolfgang go.
It's not a question. I just wanted to add something from my work as a member of the committee. Especially in Asia, I had a lot of direct contacts with persons. The question of payment was never raised, but the question of time was always a very crucial one. And people were aware, I mean, if you are not paid for it, your employer probably would second that you do this contribution for ICANN. This is understandable. But the question of how much time is necessary is really a barrier. But I wanted to add another point which was raised in several conversations, that is the confidentiality. The whole process of the nominating committee is confidential, and some people said, well, if I nominate myself, I don't get the job. That might be somewhat affecting my reputation. And I would like to say also here, the process is confidential. If somebody applies and doesn't get selected, nobody except the members of the committee will know it. So that should not be a barrier to consideration, well, what will happen if I don't get the job? Thank you.
Thank you, Norbert. And I just want to repeat it. I said it several times. The principle of confidentiality is to protect the candidate. It has nothing to do with a conspiracy or bad deals behind closed doors. So it's really to protect the candidate. So that means nobody knows that you apply. That means if you are not selected, nobody, you are not a loser. That's the difference between an election. In an election, you have to campaign, you have to disclose what you are doing, and then you are fighting against other candidates in an open space. But this election is a different nature, and this election was introduced as a counter plan for the election we had in ICANN in the year 2000. And so the election produced a lot of mixed, results, and the at-large review team which analyzed the elections in the year 2001 came to the conclusion that an open election campaign for the job of a director, you know, has so many flaws that this should be avoided, while the selection procedure in a confidential environment has also some flaws. But it's much better, and in particular, it protects the candidate. So I think this is important to understand the differences between selection and election. Thank you.
Wolfgang, thank you very much for coming to speak to us today. A very interesting presentation. There's a question from someone behind the poll. Hi, Wendy. Please go ahead. Sorry, if Norbert, Wolfgang, do you have 5 more minutes?
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
I just had a question about the sort of vehement anti-election discussion at the end there, particularly given that at-large is now considering how to select the director who is supposed to come from the at-large advisory committee. I think the study of many years ago of one particular means of at-large elections shouldn't be a referendum on all possible ways that individual at-large users could select a director.
Wendy, I'm very sorry that I gave a negative impression from the election. I just said that when the nomination committee was established, this was done you know, to substitute the elections. But as I said, both processes have some flaws, and the global election had in particular some flaws, but it doesn't say anything against another effort, in particular for the at-large community, to come back with elections. And when we had the at-large summit in Mexico in March last year, so we were arguing for, let's say, two voting at-large directors, which could be elected. So, but the nomination process is different from election. It's a selection. So, and probably this could go hand in hand. That means we could have both election for one community, the at-large community, and the selection via the nomination committee. So this is not exclusive. It could go hand in hand. But I'm, as a chair of the nomination committee, has to be very clear. There is not an election campaign in the nomination process. It's a selection process. And insofar, you know, I wanted to make this differentiation very clear.
Thank you very much. We'll break for lunch now and reconvene at 1 for the new GTLD session, if people can try and be in the room just a couple of minutes before, and then we can start at 1. Thank you very much, Wolfgang, once again. Operator, this call is now closed.
Stefan, is there going to be security in this room so we can leave our computers and things, or no?